come to you this day. Thank you for this beautiful service we've had. I ask that you'll continue to be with us. Lord, I ask that you'll be with the money that we get, that it may be used in a way that be pleasing to you. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen.
Savior Jesus Christ. We've already had a good spirit in among us this morning, and I just pray that that may continue, that it might touch each one of us as we proceed this day, that the Holy Spirit might abide. The scripture is taken from John 8, 12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. On a, up here helping today is a Jonah Bates on my right. He's going to bring the invocation. And on my left is Micah Bates. He's going to be bringing the morning message. And then Elder Burnham Pearson be bringing the benediction. May we continue with hymn number 46.
Each one that's here, that their hearts and their minds will be open to you by the power of your Holy Spirit, that they would take the words that are spoken into their hearts, and that it would be like a seed that's planted, and by the watering that they give it, that it would grow, and that it would be able to change them, even as a plant takes those things which are around it and changes them into its own life inside of itself by taking them in. I pray that this word would take in the lives of these people that are in this congregation here. Would transform them into the image of your Son and help them to be able to live like He lived, to love like He loved, and to sacrifice themselves so that your kingdom can truly come to pass in our midst. And I pray that you will bless my brother Micah and help him to have the words to say, and that those words would come straight from you so that they would have that power to change. And I ask and pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
You'd like to turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Starting in verse 40, and it says, "Thus came John, preaching and baptizing in the river of Jordan, bearing record that he who was coming after him had power to baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. And then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John refused him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Why comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer me to be baptized of thee, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him." And from 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter, starting the 6th verse, it says, "Wherefore I would that ye should remember that I have spoken unto you concerning that prophet, which the Lord showed unto me, that should baptize the Lamb of God, which should take away the sins of the world. And now if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh then how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized even by water."
More abound. here and give me thy heart. Give me thy heart. Give me thy heart. Hear the soft whisper wherever thou art. From this dark world I would draw thee apart, speaking so tenderly, give me thy heart.
Sorry, I forgot to mention our special music is going to be from Rod Manson, and we appreciate him being here and sharing with us today. He's from an Independence branch, and he sure brought some good ministry to us. And also, I want to thank Peggy Scherer for assisting with the piano, and Mrs. Medford. Don't blank our first name from Anise there. Sorry about that. At this time, Micah Baseby bring us the message.
Would you pray with me for just a moment? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our God and our eternal Heavenly Father, Lord, we are before you now, asking that you would meet us here, and pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, and that you would free us, that we might be visited by your Holy Spirit, and that that Spirit might lift us up unto you, unto the places that you have called us to be. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer me to be baptized of thee, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered them. And from Genesis chapter 6, verse 63, it says, For by water ye keep the commandment, by spirit ye are justified, and by the blood ye are sanctified. If the Messiah, our Savior Jesus Christ, had need to be baptized, how much more need have we, being unholy, imperfect, rebellious, you see, the relationship between Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven is such that Jesus does everything that the Father asks of him. Jesus allows the Spirit of his Father to live in him, to have complete reign. The relationship between the Father and Son is one of complete submission. At every moment, Jesus gives everything that he has to be obedient to his Father in heaven. Everything that the Lord asks of him, Jesus did and does. And in return, what does the Father give him? In return, the Father gives him everything. I was listening to a sermon of a friend of mine and a couple weeks ago. And I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but while somebody's giving an example or starts preaching in one direction, and all of a sudden you start going in this direction and they're over here, and I'm not saying you should do that for my sermon, but I guess if the Spirit leads you. But he shared something that I'd like to share with you. And he shared about the Hubble telescope. You see, for many, many years, we were looking at the night sky through our atmosphere. And our atmosphere is kind of like a shield. There's a lot of stuff in our atmosphere. It looks clear. We see the stars at night, but there's a lot standing in between us and it, and outer space. A lot of stuff. And so scientists and engineers created the Hubble telescope and sent it out into space so that we could get past our atmosphere and see more clearly the night sky. And it's really expensive to run this telescope, and usually don't get very much time on it. And a group of scientists were given permission to use it for a short period of time, just a couple of weeks. And with the time that they were allotted, they decided that they were going to look at a point in the night sky that had nothing in it. A completely black point. Now, I want you to hold up your fingers. I did this for the Mammoth Campers. Some of you have done this before. Hold up your fingers. Make a space between your fingers about the size of a grain of sand. And hold it out at arm's length. All right? Now, if you imagine a spot in the night sky that big, that's how big the spot that they were looking at was. And it took them a long time to find a place in the night sky that didn't have anything in it. And that's as big of a spot as they could find, that we couldn't see anything there. And they focused this telescope on that spot. And after a 2-week period, what they found in that spot was more than 3,000 galaxies. We do not have the ability to comprehend the billions and billions of stars that are in our galaxy alone, not to mention 3,000 in a piece of the night sky the size of a grain of sand in which we didn't think there was anything there. Now, as my friend Danny was saying this, this is where our paths diverged. And I was caught away in the Spirit, and I remember being able to see the universe that God created in its infinite size. And I know it was only by the power of the Spirit, because since then I've tried and I can't see it. And it was incredibly large and beautiful. And one of my favorite things growing up, and even now, is to sit and to look at the night sky. To lay back, I used to, in the grassy field behind our home. And there are no trees around the periphery, and just watch the night sky and feel the earth disappear behind me. And there's nothing that I can imagine more beautiful than that. And as I was able to see this incredible thing, all of a sudden the Spirit focused my attention on this planet, this earth, and the people that occupy it. And as I was overwhelmed by the majesty and the beauty of the universe that God had created, I was broken
by the beauty of the thing that he considers most wonderful. And that was you and I. You see, in a universe so immense, so great and powerful, terrible and peaceful at the same time, the thing that God holds of most worth is us. The thing that he finds most joy in is when we turn to him. And this is because we don't have to. Because it's no big deal for the God of the universe to say, let there be light, and there is light. He holds the stars in his hands with no thought of effort. And yet we read that when Jesus was in the garden, the only begotten Son of the Father, who was completely obedient to him, and in return the Lord used that universe for his sake. All power in heaven and earth was given to this man, this, the Son of God. And in the garden, when he was praying on our behalf, when he was carrying our burdens, it says he prayed the more earnestly. The God who had taken no thought for creation, it just was who he was, prayed the more earnestly and sweat great drops of blood with the struggle that it was to bring our hearts from the place that they had been to him. The sacrifice of Jesus is an amazing thing, brothers and sisters. You see, in the sacrifice of Jesus is contained the entire gospel. The whole thing. You see, it says that God was in the beginning. In John, the first chapter, it says he was in the beginning and Jesus was in the beginning with him. And we know that God is love, and the relationship that they hold is perfect love. That relationship that I've always spoken to you of, the simple submission of Jesus Christ to his Father, and in return he receives everything. Does anybody know who else was in the beginning with God? Satan was, that's true. There was someone else. It was us. I believe it's Doctrine and Covenants, section 90, that tells us that we were in the beginning with God. We are because he is. We were created for that same purpose, to give everything that we are in complete submission to our Father, to obey him at every step, to live in harmony with the universe that he created, and in return, he wanted to give us everything. But we, in our wisdom, or rather our foolishness, thought we were wiser than he. Thought that the way that he created things wasn't good enough for us. Thought that maybe a lie would put us where we wanted to be, would bring us joy, would bring us peace. But I want you to recognize here this morning that wickedness never was happiness. and the recognition of that on behalf of our Savior. Let him who is without sin to forgive us in Luke, the second to last chapter, I believe. Yes, 23. In Luke 23, Jesus was hanging on the cross. In verse 35, it says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, this is probably nothing that you haven't heard before, but I know that I need to be reminded that this is forgiveness. Like I said, the gospel of Jesus Christ stands in the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. I'm not a parent, but I've heard and I've experienced in other relationships in my life the pain that comes when a child hurts themselves. Not just physically, but when a child chooses to do something that we know isn't good for them. And as a parent, you desire such great things for your children. And when they choose not to have those wonderful things in your life, I would submit to you in that moment, it causes as much pain, if not more, to the parent than it does to the child. And our Father in heaven, though he is a God of love at all times and takes joy in his creation, at that same moment holds sorrow for his children because he desires something so much better for us than what we are allowing ourselves to have. And we as imperfect humans, as parents and non-parents alike, sometimes we get frustrated at the actions of our children and our friends and our family. With the best of desires and the best of intentions, we let ourselves fall prey. We let ourselves fall prey to worldly anger in the disobedience of others. But this is the response of our God. When we hurt him, when we turned from him, he sent the only son that he had to die for us. When we gave him up, he continued to give us everything. This is forgiveness. That in the place of pain and hurt, in the place of others doing horrible things to us and to those that we love, instead of returning that same spirit, we love them. This is forgiveness, that others do wrong to us, and instead we love them. It is not a feeling. It is not something you sit in your room and concentrate really hard on. And then when you don't feel happy about the situation, you give up on forgiveness. It is an action. It requires movement on our parts. It requires sacrifice. Arthur Oakman says that the instrument of love is sacrifice, and there is no other way that you can love. One day they'll realize that putting me in services with a lot of other things going on probably isn't a good idea. You see, love in Genesis chapter 2. And by that I mean chapter 1. Verse 29, it says, "And I, God, created man in mine own image. In the image of my only begotten created I him. Male and female created I them." You see, God created us in his image. And all the characteristics of God, all the ones that we hold up in men, honorable, courageous, loving, caring, these are all things that God wants for us to be. You see, he created us in his image, and he created us, we try to think of ourselves as so different from everybody else. They don't know what I'm going through. They could never understand. If they only knew who I was. These are lies, brothers and sisters, because we were all created to desire and to need the same things, and those things are righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Love, brotherly kindness, patience. These are the things that we as human beings need. It's not that those are just wants that we have, but these are things that every human being needs. I was at Mammoth Camp this last week, and during the dedication service, a young lady stood up and shared a testimony, and it was a rather lengthy testimony. And I noticed that we were all tired, and I was starting to drift away, and I bowed my head and I said, "Lord, help me to understand. Help me to love her." And for the first time since she began the testimony, I began to hear the words that she was saying. And this was a young lady who had grown up without love. For all outwardly appearances had never been shown that she mattered. Who had had to grow up taking care of her family and her mother. And she said she was so happy to be there at camp that week. And in weeks past, because this was the chance that she got every year to feel the love of God in her life. My mom often says the phrase, "Oh, Zion, haste." And to be honest with you, I don't think that phrase has ever held such meaning to me as it did in that moment. The instrument of love is sacrifice. And Cody needs that love every day. This world needs that love every moment. This world needs Zion. How is Zion to be? How is Zion to meet that world with love? Unless the people that understand it take it to them. Unless the people that have caught a glimpse of that love let that love take hold in their heart and choose to make the sacrifice necessary. So that it's not just us comfortable in here in this room. I get to see every year. At camp, the change that happens in the young people's lives is they come from a year in which they've fallen from the Lord. Whether it be slow or fast. And they spend a week getting back to a place where they understand that the Lord loves them. And we have amazing experiences every year where the Lord meets us there. And gives them conviction in their hearts to follow Him. He changes them. And He changes me. And then every year without fail, through my own weakness, I cry out to the Lord in despair. Because I know that those campers are going home to the same situations that they left. And I pray that the strength of the testimony that was brought before them will have power to change their lives and allow them to change the situations that they're in. And the reason that I share this with you is because we are those homes. We are those branches that they come back to. We are those marriages, those friendships. Those brothers and sisters that they come back to. And what is it that they find? Is it the example of Jesus Christ? Is it the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that they find in our lives? Because we are sacrificing that same thing? I say this not just for campers, clearly. I say this for the world who is searching for their home, searching for their father. I pray this for them. That they would be able to find home here. They would be able to find home with their Heavenly Father because they would find Him in us. That we as a people would take this from this point, day by day. Week by week, month by month. And even as we work to prepare a building to meet Him and to worship Him in, that we would prepare the building of our lives for Him to dwell there, for an opportunity for Him to go forth into this world. The world needs us, or rather, the world needs Him. And though He does not need us, He wants us. And that is a great and beautiful thing. Angie. Though He does not need you, He wants you. And He has desired you with all of His heart from the beginning of time until now, and He rejoices with you in the decision that you've made. And know that you are not perfect. But you have been forgiven of your sins. And if you choose to follow Him, many will come to a knowledge of Him and will be able to hold the joy that you hold today. If you would work in your life and give Him free rein, and work with your brothers and sisters at every opportunity that you have. And for the rest of us, that we would uphold her and uplift her in that. And I give you that same challenge as we leave here. That we would find the deepest places of our hearts. And instead of making God part of our life, that we would become part of the life that is Jesus Christ. For as the sacrifice that He gave forgave us of our sins, the resurrection that He partook of allows us to have life again. And through Him, we can be healed.
I thank my brother for the message that he brought to us this day. My prayer is that we might ponder over the things that he brought, and that we might grow closer to the Lord. At this time, Angie Pearson will be confirmed by Brother Elder Alan Owens and Elder Richard Sanders. May the elders please come forward.
Our dear Heavenly Father, this morning it is a joy and an honor and a humbling experience to be allowed the great privilege to stand in your stead on behalf of our brother Angie. Dear Father, we have been taught a lot this morning, for Angie led us as we sang to the baptismal fountain, where she made her covenant with you, where she was washed white from the sins of this world. And dear Father, at this time, it is our great privilege to be allowed to grant unto her the gift of the Holy Ghost, knowing full well that it will guide her, that it will strengthen her, that it will protect her in times of danger. We appreciate Angie. We appreciate the example she has set this day. And we would humbly pray, dear Father, that we wouldn't shirk our responsibilities, but that we would be there for her, that she might feel free to call upon any member of Saints Haven at any time, that we might be there to strengthen her and to guide her. Thank you, dear Father, for all of your blessings. Thank you for the Spirit that has attended us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 47.
Thank you. Father in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you for this day. It has truly been a beautiful day in spirit and love as we watch the uniting of a family and do your work. Forgive us of our shortcomings, each and every one. We pray that we can carry this spirit into our homes and minister to others and uplift and encourage and strengthen them. We thank you for the spirit which has dwelt amongst us and for our brother as he brought us a message of love and outreaching. We truly thank you, Lord, again, for being in our presence, touching the hearts of each and every one as I've watched them weep from joy they have in just even being here. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.